Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want everybody to know that we had a tremendous week. I tell you, Occupy the PGA was a tremendous success. We are doing the things that we're doing right now, and we have put a new demand on Whirlpool, Harbor Shores, and the PGA of America. We're demanding 50% instead of the regular 25% that they give to most everybody else. It was a bad, bad week for them. They was expecting 15,000 people every single day for the whole four-day tournament. Normally, they say they get from 45 to 50,000 people to watch the PGA, the senior PGA, less than, hear this, 4,000 people showed up, and they was giving away tickets. If you bought a soda and a hot dog, you get a stack of 10 PGA tickets. It was just that bad. The merchants, the vendors, not only in St. Joseph, Michigan, but Benton Harbor, Michigan, was complaining. They said that it was a disaster. He said they said they never could believe that things would turn out like they did. But fortunate for the people, it is a major, major victory. And then there was a lot of criticism last week of the golf club of Harbor Shores as they prepared to host the 73rd Senior PGA Championship. There were many players who were not big fans of the green golfing legend Jack Nicklaus' signature designer golf course. Mark wondered why Nicklaus could even consider. This is what this is exact words. He said he wondered why Jack Nicklaus, would even consider designing a huge multi-tier tent. Green, that's the hole, the way he did. Fred Funk, who won the championship tour event in early May that preceded the senior PGA championship, complained about the greens at the Harbor Shores Wednesday press conference. Hal Sutton walked away complaining about the Harbor Shores Jack Nicklaus signature golf course. Bernard Legger initially called the greens at Harbor Shores among the worst he has ever seen and has ever, ever played on. The final, the back tee length is too short for a regular PGA, he said. This may be just a bad golf course, not as wonderful as the news media and Jack Nicklaus was talking about. I tell you, this been a tremendous week for the people. They did put all that work they took and stole from the residents of Benton Harbor. I'm talking about Whirlpool. I'm talking about Harbor Shores. I'm talking about the PGA of America. And I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz. They took from the people. But God would not let it be. As of now, if they're going to come back in 2014, like they said, we're demanding 50% of the TV revenue that they're going to receive. And on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney, and I just want everybody to know that I am so excited about the march, Occupy the PGA last week. I want to thank my co-host, my friend, Ralph Pointer, for coming all the way from New York. And I want to say that he did a massive charge. We were under attack by the sheriff department and the chief of police. But Ralph Pointer did not back down. Matter of fact, he got right in the chief's face. And I was so proud of him, but I didn't want him to do anything to spoil Saturday, because that was the biggest day that we have had in a long time around here. And I just want to thank my good friend Ralph. I want to thank him for coming, and I want to thank him for just being there. And I tell you, hey, if you ever meet him, you know that he's somebody special. And I want to say this to everybody. People talking about marching doesn't get you anywhere today. I tell you, that march got us more than anybody have ever received. But right now, people are calling, not just here in Barron County, not just here in the state of Michigan, but all around the country. Radio interviews, people talking about it, people want to know what can they do. They want me to come to their city and speak and maybe rally the people. But it's more important than just that. We have to figure out a way where we can connect the people together across the country. If we're going to build a movement, it has to be done across the country. It cannot be done in these little cities and people stay home and do nothing. And I appreciate the people that came from Finland, Denmark, Costa Rica, and all those other places, California, even in the state of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Battle Creek, Traverse City, you name it, even across the bridge here. I just want to thank everybody for coming, and I want everybody to know it has been a tremendous success, And we have graded the PGA. We gave them an F minus. It wasn't even fair. I mean, they took a beating, and they knew that they had taken a beating. If they plan on coming back in 2014, instead of demanding 25%, we want 50%, or it's going to be worse. And on that note, let me bring in my dear friend, co-host, my guy, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm thinking, and I notice you've thanked all of the people who came, and I am so glad that Sundiata Sadiq from the NAACP in Ossining, New York, who was under attack years ago for supporting the people, supporting the political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and forcing the NAACP to take a look at that, as you and others have forced the NAACP over the years to do the job they say they're doing. And I want to thank you for forcing or putting pressure on the so-called progressives, the Democratic Party, to do what they say they're going to do. Because today, you know, after listening to Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, as you have been featuring these major speeches they made, we have to think about what has changed. And what has changed is these hate crimes, and we have to say these hate crimes by individuals and small groups have been increased to hate crimes by the corporations.
Mm.
Now, what is a hate crime? A hate crime is one that attacks a specific people. It goes against a specific people. And we have to start with the original hate crime of America, as the genocide of the indigenous people here. Before they got to the main island, you know, of America, this main landscape, they attacked the small island before they got there, where Christopher Columbus landed, a hate crime. They wiped the people out, and I think it was short 10 years. And then they go on to the hate crime of genocide and moving, taking the land away from a specific group of people. And now we are all of these years later and go through the fight of the 60s through Martin Luther King and Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, and fighting against hate crimes toward the people. And now we have Reverend Pinckney fighting against the hate crime of the corporations removing people, a group of people, from the area that they had been moved to in Benton Harbor. You know, they pushed you aside to the shore. They separated the community. And that was a hate crime. And now they're back with another hate crime to take that which they pushed you into again. And so we need people like you to carry the message. You know, these are hate crimes, and we have to treat them like hate crimes. Hate crimes against the black. Hate crimes against poor. Hate crimes against immigrants. Hate crimes against the workers. And we have to look at that seriously. And we have to support those who stand up against these hate crimes. And Reverend Pinckney, I'm just proud to have been there with you. And I don't know whether, you know, like if an apology is in line. When you go to demonstrate with someone, you try to follow their rules. But I tell you, when the gentleman, and I misused the word gentleman, when the member of the Army of Occupation came and got in our face, it's hard for me to, it's like a horse going back to the oats, you know, he smells the oats. And I, they get to me, they anger me, and I want to belittle them, you know, as best I can. So I'm glad you were there to say, no, save it for tomorrow. Mm. And I needed to save it for the next day, and you did organize a successful march. And no, you organized a successful event where people around the country knew that this was a place any progressive had to be. And the various movements came. The Green Party with Bradley Manning is a group that supported him. And so you showed that it can be done, and I hope people will show their support, because we have always talked about supporting those who support us. And I hope Mary Neal is going to explain to people where to send their money, vote with their pocketbook, because without that pocketbook, we can't continue to get things done. And we, the people, have to be the main support behind you. So I'm not going to give two commercials, and I know Mary Neal is listening, and she's ready. And it was wonderful to meet the voices that we hear on the radio. We hear that when we listen to the program, to see them in person. So I got quite a thrill out of the whole event. Mm. And
Ralph, but here's something that was even more important. Sadat and you and Daniel from California and the guys from Lansing and the one guy came from across the bridge. The point I think that we made that day, more than even though we didn't want to have a confrontation with them on that level, but we sent a message out that we would not be bullied. And I think that was the thing. So on Saturday, what they called themselves doing on Saturday, they wanted to pick on people who they felt that they can get away with it. Yes. But here's what I'm doing on that end. The ACLU is taking their case, and we're in the process of filing a suit against them on that level, and also on the issue that we have to have a ticket to walk on the sidewalk. So what we're doing now, we're getting everything together. We're talking right now. We're trying to get the right language so we know exactly where we at on this, because I think that this will send a message not only to Whirlpool, not only to Harbor Shores, not only to PGA of America, but also to the police department and the sheriff department that they are not to mess around with us. I'm going to tell you what happened during the week, during my court-watching adventures. What they would do They had 10 to 15 police officers over there trying to watch me and watch what I do. And I tell you, it was, but I kind of tricked them a little bit. I rode the elevator up and down a couple of times to trick them. So like I said, they came to the conclusion that I was tricking them. So what they did, they put people upstairs and downstairs to watch me. So, you know, but I got complete enjoyment out of that, because I know what they're thinking, I know what they're trying to do, but the point is, they have met the right man, because they don't intimidate me, they don't scare me. You see,
that's quite obvious that you are not intimidated and not afraid of them, and you have them watching the watcher.
Yes, right.
And one of the things that I suggest that you would suggest to them, instead of watching you, go out and watch and see if they can watch that serial killer that's on the loose out there.
Absolutely.
And, hopefully, they are not the serial killer. Hopefully.
Absolutely, because we have found another guy in the river, another black person, 33 years of age. They won't even talk about it. I found out accidentally, and I usually know everything that goes on around here. I found out that they found another man, a 33-year-old man, floating in the river, and nobody's talking about it. I mean, what do you have to do to these people to get them to move?
Yes, well, you're doing it because you have the attention of everyone out there, even the naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I know you're very successful is a woman came up and said, "What is he doing? He's bringing all of these people." So you have made those who are compliant with their own oppression nervous that you're exposing everyone. And so I had to ask her. I says, "Well, what do you mean, what is he doing?" And so she says, "Well, why has he brought all of these people from all over to look at Benton Harbor?" She says, "Everything is all right here."
Let me explain you something real quick. Her husband is an ex-commissioner who helped give away the land.
There.
That explains that.
Yes, and so she was nervous that you were exposing, putting the light on the dark places that was going on. So I asked her, she says, "You're not from here." So I said, "Well, look around." I says, "What was across the street there?" And she says, "A factory." And I says, "Well, what was that over there?" And that was a factory. "And what was that?" And that was where people are employed. And I'm saying, now you have 70% unemployment. And if that's okay, you know, I'm sorry, I just have to disagree. That is not okay. That is depression. And somebody has to put a light on the depression, and somebody has to put a light on why it happened. And so, you know, these regressive people, and I says, "Why are the jobs gone?" And her answer was, "No, the jobs aren't gone. our children are not qualified to take the jobs." So I says, "Well, quite interesting. Then we have to say, why are they not qualified to take jobs if there are jobs?" Because every sociologist or educator knows that if you take 10 children from any place in the world, any place, they all come up with the same average of IQ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, if we take our 10 children and they are not trained and educated, that's a problem with the education system. And I don't want to hear any more about it's the parents' problem, because we've seen situations around the world and here and in Cuba where in one generation the illiterates become the leaders and they learn to read, write, count, and all of the things that have come out of Cuba in the short time that after Fidel took charge in the Revolutionary Party, and their science is advanced, so, and everything there, they're just light years ahead. And now they're to the point where they're educating our children, mm-hmm. our American children, can go to Cuba and become doctors if they promise to operate 4 years in their section
mm-hmm.
of the country. If they come out of inner city Detroit, they're expected to go back and practice their expertise in that part of the city, oppressed city they came from, and work with the oppressed people for 4 years, and then they're free to go practice anywhere. And so I'm saying, here we have an example. And I remember reading a New York Times article, and they were talking about the inner cities of this country, and they had said, well, the reason why the people in the inner cities cannot be educated, it is because of their culture. Well, once I went to Cuba, I saw you look at the Cuban culture and look at any part of the inner city, of any inner city in this nation, including Benton Harbor, it's the same as Cuba. So I says, throw that argument out the window. So I won't take a lot of time. I know you have a lot of people waiting to
speak.
Yes,
I do. Matter of fact, we have over 35 callers today for reasons unknown. But let me say this. Can you talk about Lynn Stewart right fast for us? And take your time and tell us about Lynn Stewart.
Yes. Well, Lynn, you know, as you know, Lynn, we call her the people's lawyer, just as we call you the people's pastor, for much the same reasons. You serve the people. And she served the people of her community. Although she's a woman of English and Irish ancestry, German and Swedish, she served our community, the inner city, of the poor and black and Latino people who were her neighbors and friends. And she is in jail because when she served the Muslim community, she represented the blind sheikh, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, and he was an interesting. Today, Egypt is in much excitement is going on in Egypt. People have returned back to the square because Hosni Mubarak, who was deposed and jailed, was on trial for his life. And the people are very upset about the mixed message that came out of his conviction. So there was a lot of consternation there. And the blind sheikh was Hosni Mubarak's opponent. And this country, in wanting to protect Hosni Mubarak, they put the blind sheikh in jail. Lynn defended him. And she not only proved the blind sheikh innocent, but she proved the American government guilty. They got a conviction of the blind sheikh, and when Lynn continued around the country talking about the First Amendment, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Seventh, and how people have been denied justice in the courts, they said she was going around the country to law schools and universities, corrupting our youth, and now she is doing 10 years in jail. She's in Fort Worth, Texas. She's in bad health, and I will see her this Friday, you know, all I say to people is please look up Lynne Stewart, Stewart, .org, and just read her messages. She had a message on Trayvon Martin, which was unbelievable. She had a message on Women's Day. She has a message on political prisoners. On every issue as it comes up, people ask her to write, and she writes on these issues, and she, you can see how bright and very few people like that, and she hasn't been defeated by the prison. They're hurting her because she needs an operation, and they keep saying she's on the list, and she said to me, you know, people die in these prisons, and there are many people who are more sick than I am, she says, but that tells you what the prison system is like in America. So just think of Lynn, and when you look at her, write a letter, drop a postcard, because when she hears from people, this is her window to the outside, hearing from people who are watching, seeing what's happening, and never forgetting her, and as we should never forget any of our political prisoners. And one program I'd like to talk about some of the other political prisoners who never mentioned. Thank you again, Reverend, and I look forward to Mary Neal, who can do the commercial much better than I do. I can.
Rabbi, I just want to let you know I appreciate you, and I want you to tell Lynn Stewart when you see her next Friday, give her a big hug and a kiss from me, and let her know that Reverend Pinckney and the residents of Benton Harbor love her very much. On that
Thank
note,
you,
I got to bring in Mary. Mary, are you there?
I'm Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I can tell how you are. You are so wonderful. You, whenever I listen to you, I don't care what's going on, I feel very, very positive because you are a person who keeps your positive attitude and you just inspire everybody around you to believe that we can accomplish things that we may not in ourselves feel like there is any change possible. You inspire us to go that extra mile. And so to hear about the wonderful outcome of the Occupy the PGA last week, that was just marvelous. I know that they were antagonistic toward you. For instance,
Chief of Police.
Petition. I put the petition on the blog that I made for the PGA,
uh-huh.
And the petition wouldn't actually work to take signatures. So I want you and I want everybody else to know that there is a cyber war that's being waged against the people. And sometimes if you don't get the signatures you expect on your petitions, just know that sometimes there's a reason for that. And that is sometimes caused by the cyber war. A Wall Street Journal talks about the cyber war today. And the stalkers who work against me on the internet didn't even want me to open the video. But yes, your petition, the widget that I put on the article for your petition, it would not actually take signatures. So they were fighting against you, but you won. Not just you yourself, but you and the people of Benton Harbor and all the people who came out to join with you. And I love the idea that even though there are people like that man last week who was speaking to me or about me and said that it's hateful to point out things that are wrong because it's embarrassing to the people who were in office.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Why would the people not use election times to more than ever point out what is wrong? Because if you ever are going to get resolution, it would be during a time when people want re-election. This is not the time for people to say, well, I know there are problems, but I won't address them because it can be embarrassing to the incumbents in office. That is essentially what the caller suggested last week.
Mm.
And this is the time when you come forward more than ever, because if you don't make demands, a famous man, I think it was Frederick Douglass, it could have been Langston Hughes, but he said, power concedes nothing.
That's
without
right.
a demand.
Without a
nothing.
Demand.
So,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So you have to make your demands, and there's no more opportune time to talk to your representatives about what you feel needs to be done. There's no more opportune time to do that than during an election year. Damn people who think that it's enough to look like me or to share a political party with me or with others. It's not enough to just look like a person. That's racist. It's not enough to share a political party because that isn't necessarily the ideology that's being followed. We have political parties that are built on one ideology, but individuals are taking these parties now in a totally different direction than what you would think or what you would agree with. And so now is the time to be heard, not the time to say, well, I don't want to make waves like that lady did. This is the time for people to get together and unite and support people like Reverend Pinckney, B.H. Banco movement that are going forward and actually risking everything. Because, you know, the thing is that there are some very mean police officers. Not all of them, not even nearly all. But there are some that seem like, I don't know, there's something going on with our police officers.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think they're driven
where
by?
Where they beat one man to death.
Mary.
A mentally ill man.
Mary.
Yes.
What do you think they're driven by? All this meanness.
I don't know what's going on with them. Some people say they're on steroids.
Uh-huh. So
some people think they're on drugs, some kind of steroids to make them have, you know, make them pass those stress tests and stay fit. Maybe they're under a lot of pressure to stay fit, and they take steroids. And, of course, you know, that is a drug that can work on the brain. But whatever it is, something going on.
I tell you.
It makes them really out of their mind.
Yeah, well, you know, here in Benton Harbor, I think everything is racially motivated here, and it's the haves against the have-not, and I think that's exactly what's happening here. They want to make sure that you don't get your toenail inside that dough unless you're with them. And what they're using here, they're using preachers to control the mass of people here, and what they're doing, they're giving them a few dollars underneath the table. And what they're doing, they're deceiving their very own congregation. That is exactly what's happening here in the city. And the police officers, I mean, if you would have been there last Friday and watched what they attempted to do to us, you would have been very, very upset. But we handled it the way it's supposed to be handled. We didn't back down. But we wanted to make sure we got away with what we were attempting to do and accomplish that day and move on to Saturday. See, Saturday was a big day. And I think what they was trying to do was get us in a confrontation so there would be no Saturday. And I think that was the
thing. They have agendas. They do. They plan things. And they expect for us to react in a certain way.
Right.
And you're right. They knew Saturday was your biggest day. So they came out and confronted you believe, on Friday to sort of interfere with Saturday.
Absolutely.
It did not work.
No.
Because it don't work. God is real. And see, God is on the side of who is right.
That's
right. Justice is not your idea. It's not my idea. It's not Mr. Ralph's idea. It is God's idea for people to be just toward one another. So anytime any force is counter to that, then who they really oppose is God himself. And they got to fail. They may not fail immediately, but they will all fail. Everything that rises up against God is cursed. And so I know that this thing is going to go forward. I know that the radio shows, the television shows are asking about you and asking for you, and they should, because it's a shame that you are unique. All of our men should stand up like you do. It is not a good thing for you to be unique. We should have more and more and more men who are willing to come forward and to be the protectors. Because, as you say, this is largely a racial issue. And we need our men to now come forward and be the men and be the women. Because women have always had to stand up and protect the village, protect the young, protect the old, and protect themselves. Very often we haven't had men to do it. We have to stand up. And one way we can do that, if we're not able to go to these demonstrations, we may not be able to go to those meetings that you have to attend. We're not always in the courtroom every day like you are and watching the court process, but we are able, many of us are able to do as you say on your website and send $10. And I say send $10 a month. It would be great to just make it an automatic withdrawal. So one day I'm sure you will set that up where people will be able to just send you an automatic withdrawal from their account, and that way it doesn't hurt them to write the check or to back the letter. It just comes out. But right now they can still mail the money, because it takes money to even talk on your phone right now and have us on the radio with you. to go to any of the meetings that you go to have the computer equipment to work with, to keep it in shape and keep it protected from these cyber stalkers who would seek to interfere. And they can mail it to 1940 Union Street. That's 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan. And that's Benton Harbor, Michigan, at 49022. That's the zip code. Now, that's BANCO, organization. And this $5 from this person, $2 from that person, $1,000 from this church or organization that says, you know what, I am not doing what this man is doing and what this group and organization are doing, but I can write a check for $1,000. And I will. You know, the work of Christ is the work of justice. Human rights is Jesus' idea. It shouldn't be difficult to convince ministers and people who claim to be the body of Christ. It shouldn't be difficult to convince them to write a once-a-year check for $1,000 for an organization that is run by a Christian man who is working without balance to make life better for so many people. That shouldn't be a major decision. And so I wish that everyone would do what they can to mail support to Reverend Pinckney, the people's pastor. He has his telephone number right on his website. Many of us go to church Sunday after Sunday, and we don't know our minister's telephone number because, frankly, we know that he doesn't want to hear from us until next Sunday and fill the pew. He won't come if you are locked up. He won't be interested. He will not do that. And so here you have a man who is your pastor. If you have a problem, if there's something Reverend Pinckney can do about it, people can call him, people he never even met, and get a response. That is the leadership we need. That is what we need to do. And if we don't have it in our leaders, he's trying to, as Mr. Ralph said, he's trying to impress our leaders not to embarrass. You know, my point in talking about my brother's secret arrest and murder is not to embarrass officials. It's to prompt them to do what the law says. I don't want people to go out of their way. When you see bodies floating in the lake, don't go out of your way. Just do your normal routine that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get the body. You're supposed to investigate the crime. You're supposed to hunt for the criminals, even if it's your fellow police officer. So nobody's asking anybody to go out of their way, and nobody's trying to embarrass anybody by asking for simple justice. Just as Martin Luther King said, all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
That's right.
Just stick to that.
Absolutely.
And it's not being mean or hateful or trying to embarrass anybody or start a fight. It's just asking you to do what you said. No matter what color the victim is, no matter what religion the victim is, do what it says on paper. On paper, America says they will not execute mentally ill people. But on June 6th, the state of Ohio is getting ready to execute a Muslim man. His name is Abdul, A-W-K-A-L, Akal. He's a Muslim man. He's schizophrenic. He has hallucinations. He's got all kinds of mental illness, and they know this. Why would they execute a mentally ill man? You know what? A lot of people are, you know, praying for America to be blessed out of this situation. That's a whole lot of meanness that's got to be worked out. And you know what? You can be mean without saying a word or doing anything. In fact, that's the worst way to be mean.
Really, you absolutely count, man. Mary, you got about 30 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires.
All right, then. I want everybody to please send a donation this week, seriously. Don't put it off. It's the first of the month. You get paid from your job or you get paid from your fixed income. Share. Send a donation to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Also, write to Ohio and tell them don't kill mentally ill people. In fact, just cut out executions altogether. And that would please God. If you don't believe it, read Psalms 102:19-20. The Lord sits high, and he listens to the groaning of the prisoner to loose those who are appointed to death. All right? So you read that, and you consider the death penalty. And I thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey, and I thank you too, Mary Neal, because I always say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And that's biblically speaking. And on that note, I got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
Yes, I have an article here from the Chesterton Tribune. This is in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana is not far from Benton Harbor. The body of the John Doe found washed ashore in Beverly Shores on April 11 has been identified. The man was identified as William Edward Hurst, 33, of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Am I still online here?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Okay, because I'm hearing some noises. Reported missing more than 2 months ago, Porter County Coroner Chuck Harris told the Chesterton Tribune on Saturday. The Indiana State Police Crime Lab made the identification by running a usable fingerprint obtained from the body through the integrated automated fingerprint system, Harris said. The cause of death remains undetermined, however, and how and when and under what circumstances Hearst entered Lake Michigan are unknown. The results of the toxicology screen are pending. Benton Harbor Detective Lieutenant Delmar Lang said today that Hearst's mother reported her son missing February 3rd after he left to run some personal errands and never returned. So, you know, there's a little bit more here, but we can basically just say that dead bodies of Benton Harbor people are still turning up, and, you know, investigations are not being done, and it doesn't take much to figure out why.
Very good, very good. And you're absolutely correct, too, because we have a serial killer running around here, and we believe it's the police department. And it appears to me that this is probably the eighth killing we've had within the last year. Matter of fact, they found a girl right down the street from my home sitting in the parking lot in a car. And I was, you know, when we notified the police in reference to it, yet and still, they only found a small little section in the newspaper about it. Because they know that there's a serial killer here, and we believe it's a member of the police force, law enforcement. Go on, Libby.
Do we know how that girl died?
No, not ever. They just put in the newspaper that they found her dead. That's all they said. They didn't say whether she was strangled or shot or anything like that. They simply said she was found dead in her car, and somehow somebody drove her to that spot and left her there in her very own car.
All right, I'm on bhbanco.org. Benton Harbor, that's bhbanco.org, B-H-B-A-N-C-O. Criticisms of Harbor Shores Golf Course. Here are some highlights from a recent Herald Palladium article, and the link is provided to this article, Herald Palladium being the company newspaper for Whirlpool, located in Berrien County, Michigan. So here are a few highlights. Fred Funk, who won the Champions Tour event in early May that preceded the Senior PGA Championship, complained about the greens at Wednesday's press conference and went on to miss the cut. Hal Sutton also missed the cut, and he walked away complaining about the greens. Bernard Langer initially called the green complexes among the worst he's seen, toned back his criticism to say some of the greens were a bit severe. Hal Irwin, who at 66 was one of the oldest players in the field, saw the difficulty of the greens, tried not to be bothered by them. These greens, they can be maddening. There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Next thing I have. Senior PGA crowd does not boost business in St. Joe. The senior PGA have business booming in Benton Harbor, although that's not according to business owners. I insert that. But some St. Joe shops say they're disappointed in the lack of traffic in their downtown. Business expected thousands of visitors, but say the entire week of the tournament has been slow. Businesses expected thousands of visitors. And they, with the White Pine Winery, said, we heard something like 10,000 people a week in town, so we were thinking, wow, we're going to be slammed, and it really didn't turn out like that. He said he scheduled extra staff to prepare for the tourists, which did not end up being necessary. Saturday was the busiest day for St. Joe shops, but owners say the crowd was typical for Memorial Day weekend. And then there's a comment following that article. Sorry to say this, but Benton Harbor isn't seeing much business either. The burger joint in one of the articles is seeing an increase because it's smack dab in the middle of the golf course. People need to know that Harbor Shores catered out their food and everything. No golfing fans are coming into town, maybe a few here and there. The senior PGA has almost run a small family folk out of town. Gene Clark Park is close to the public, and Silver Beach, well, let's just say the Twin Cities have become what Whirlpool envisioned, a playtown for their people. Once again, we've been fed with pie-in-the-sky hopes and dreams. And then the last thing I have is police and world sidewalk private, This is also from bianco.org. During the week of Occupy the PGA, Benton Harbor Police Chief Roger Lang attempted to push Reverend Pinckney into a confrontation. On Friday, May 25th at approximately 7, Pinckney and 10 others were refused access to a public sidewalk near the Harbor Shores golf course. They were surrounded and escorted by 15 police officers, thugs for Whirlpool. Lang said they needed a ticket to walk on the public sidewalk.
Interesting.
Actually, he didn't say public. He just said sidewalk.
Yeah.
Pinckney's group stood up for their rights as best they could, and the situation became heated. It was clear that the police were hoping for confrontation. Pinckney, losing all respect for Lang, will no longer support him, and he says that the police are no longer working in service of the people, and he will not speak to residents on behalf of the police department. Their behavior was shameful and disrespectful of the residents. One person was even given a ticket for sounding a bicycle horn in Gene Clark Park. Pinckney plans to file suit to protect the people's constitutional rights against Chief Lang, Benton Harbor Police Department, the PGA, Whirlpool, and KitchenAid. Now, that's all I've got for now.
Hey, and that's enough, I think. I think you did a great job. I appreciate that. But, you know, we just have to take our hats off. And if you have anything else to say, you can either hang on or say whatever your heart desires, because I got to bring Ralph back on.
Hi, Ralph.
Okay. Well, have a good day. Hey, Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. And I want to say, hi, Libby. It was great meeting you, as well as meeting all of many of Reverend Pinckney's friends and supporters. The spirits were super. And it shows that economic sanctions work. We have to continue with the economic sanction, saying it over and over and over again. Do not support Whirlpool or any of their subsidiaries, KitchenAid, or do not support any organization that you belong to that doesn't support you. And I know Ben Jealous from the NAACP is going to be speaking to you with a different voice than several months ago when they tried to replace you. And this shows what can be done with not only NAACP unions. You have to remember there's a website out there to boycott the Koch brothers who support so many right-wing and outrageous organizations and so many initiatives, right-wing initiatives, like the one that people think or suspect got Trayvon Martin killed.
stand your ground, which is a misnomer. And one program you're going to have on that is these misnomers, these code words that we accept, you know, on face value when we know what they really mean. So we have to thank you, Reverend, for pointing out to the rest of us the hate crime of the corporations aimed at certain segments of our people.
Absolutely. And I'm going to thank you, Reverend. But anyway, I also want to take my hat off to my good friend Sadat for coming all the way from New York and to be here, and he was a perfect gentleman. Matter of fact, he opened my eyes up about the NAACP. He gave me a real education about the NAACP, things that I did not know. And I'm telling you, what he said took me to a whole different level. And he knew people. He actually knew these people. We opened this book up, and he could explain each and every last one of them. And I said, man, that was tremendous. That has given me the energy that I need to go out here in case they want to go chest to chest, toe to toe, fist to fist, whatever they want to do. And here's the bad part. I'm really not that in love with the NAACP. I mean, that's what really gets me. I'm fighting for something I don't really love.
Well, I want to hear, Reverend, a recording of you and Sundiata Sadiq talking about your experiences, because when I listened to the both of you last week, I was knocked out. As you were saying, you know, somebody who knows the history, and I would say I would like to hear the two of you just play a recording, two of you speaking. It was quite educational.
Hey, you know what? I am looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, we said that we was going to sit down and we're going to record the information that we have stored in our minds in reference to something like this. And I tell you, I enjoyed you and Sadat and everybody. I mean, it was very educational for me. And I mean, it went beyond the call of duty. I mean, I appreciate it. And then we did the show right here in my home where we sit down and I tell you, I am so excited. I tell you, I'm feeling so good. But look, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I got to remember to tell everybody we are boycotting all the Whirlpool products, especially KitchenAid. We're dealing with them, and we want people to know that we're on the right track. Whirlpool, a negative credit rating. They're just one step from being junk stock. That's why they're trying to future the KitchenAid products. So we have to be on top of them. My friends that came from Costa Rica and every place else, they have made a pledge that they would spread the word, do not buy anything with the label Whirlpool. And they have went on my website to know all the other projects, other items that they do have. But we want to make sure that we are functioning correctly and doing all the things that we need to do. And on that note, I'm going to let Mary have the very last word, and we're going to take it from there, Ralph. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I just want to thank God. I want to thank God that he brought that whole thing together, that he did keep it peaceful in spite of the antagonism that was coming at you from those who are supposedly in authority. And the thing is that we need people to support that effort. And the PGA is just one example of how people are being mistreated across the country. And when you think about black people being oppressed, please understand that these people are not necessarily acting out of racism, because I remember looking at the movie, The Titanic, and there were only white people on the boat. And the white people who were the working class were in the hull of the boat next to the livestock and the baggage. And when the boat hit an iceberg, they shot the working class whites who were trying to get to the lifeboats on the movie. I want you to know that it's whoever is in the working class or considered poor. They are being treated like obsolete items in this country now. And perhaps next week, Mr. Ralph can tell us what this means about the new America's money. I don't understand that, and I know Mr. Ralph probably could explain it to us. What do they mean about combating the United States with South America and Mexico and Canada?
Mary,
I really
you got about
5 seconds.
Clean that up in 5 seconds. Say what you want. We out of here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that means, but a lot of things are not going well for the working people. And we have to come together regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of all of that, and stand together shoulder to shoulder and tell the powerful that we are united because God said in Genesis 11:6 that will work against anything, unity.
All right, and that is all the time we have. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I will see you back here next time. Listen, if you want to get in on the show, please call me and let me know. You can call me Saturday or Sunday. You can reach me at 269-925-0001. We have more than 30 people on the board who were trying to get in, but you have to call me and let me know that you want to come in. And I'll give you time. That's a promise, not a say-so. That's 269-925-0001. And on that note, we have no more time. I want to wish everybody, a very beautiful day today. God bless you all, and God will keep you. That's a promise. God bless you now. Take care, Ralph. Take care,
Mary.
Take
care,
everybody. God bless
y'all.
Thank
you, audience. We appreciate you.
All right.
Always. Share the tapes of the program. Send them out to your friends.
All right. Bye now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.